We've been going through this series called Impact, and basically it's the series of Acts. And Acts, the people came to know Christ as the beginning of the church. They made an impact on the whole world. And so we're just looking at how are we supposed to make an impact when, you know, when we understand the gospel, and how does it make an impact not only on our lives, but on the people that we meet, whether it's here in Canyon or whether wherever we end up in our lives. And so we've been looking at different things like that. And so we're in the middle of Paul's second missionary journey. If you remember last week, Paul was thrown in prison with Silas, and they were at midnight singing praises and everything, and the earth shook and everything happened, and everything came loose. All the doors swung open, all the chains broke loose. I mean, it was an incredible earthquake. But yet he used the opportunity to share the gospel with the jailer. The jailer and his whole family became Christians, and it was a powerful, moving moment. So the people, magistrates, remember, they came and they escorted him out because they had arrested him and whipped him without actually knowing he was a Roman citizen, kind of get in trouble for doing that. So they just escorted him out of town, and they said, "Would you please leave?" As nicely as they could. And that's kind of where we're starting our story. He's going on to a couple other towns. And a couple of these towns we don't even know anything about. He just went through them. And he obviously stopped and did something, but we don't get all the information. So if you want to turn with me, we're going to be in Acts chapter 17, 1 through 15. We're going to read through it first, then we'll look back at some things, that how it applies to us and what we can learn from it, okay? So Acts 17, 1 says, "When Paul and his companions had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia," which we don't even know anything about other than their towns, "they came to a town," which you might sound familiar to you, "called Thessalonica. Now there was a Jewish synagogue there. And as was custom, Paul went to the synagogue, and on three Sabbath days," so for 3 weeks, "he reasoned with them from the scriptures, and explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. He says, 'This Jesus that I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah.' Some of the Jews were persuaded to join Paul and Silas, as a large number of God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous. So they rounded up some bad characters in the marketplace, formed a mob, and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out to the crowd. But they didn't find them, so they dragged Jason and some other believers before the city officials, shouting, 'These men who have caused trouble all over the world have come now here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. And they are defying Caesar's decree, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus.' When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil, and they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Now, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Now, on arriving at Berea, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were more noble character than those of Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness. They examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, and so did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. When the Jews in Thessalonica heard that Paul was preaching in the word in Berea, some of them went there too, agitating crowds and stirring them up, and the believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed in Berea. But those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and left him with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join them as soon as possible." So it seems like everywhere it goes, Paul ends up in trouble. Have you ever felt that way? I know sometimes my kids are like that. It doesn't matter what you do, you're in trouble. It's like, I was doing the right thing, and yet you're in trouble. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing, but yet you're in trouble. That's what Paul's kind of like. He's going through, and things are good. I mean, he's doing the right thing. He's sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is working in him. People are coming to know Christ. But yet, there's riots breaking out. And there's people getting beat up and thrown in jail and have to post bond, all kinds of crazy things. Now, it's pretty interesting. I want you to notice that, and this is an important thing for us to understand as well. He reasoned with people from the scriptures. He took the word of God and he reasoned with people. Now, here's the thing. People today, they think the Bible is completely outdated and totally useless. They have no idea that it has so much for our lives, every part of your life. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. But always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." In other words, you don't beat the Bible over their head. But if somebody wants to know why you believe, why are you a believer? Why do you go to church? What are you doing that for? You share with them. You should be ready to go in a heartbeat. You shouldn't be going, oh, I'll tell you tomorrow or whatever. No. If they're asking a question, God's put it upon their heart to ask a question about where you go to church or your faith. You should be willing and excited and eager to share your story. You may not have an incredible testimony that's up and down. I've turned from drugs or whatever. You might have a normal one. I grew up in a house that loved Jesus. And so it was what happened. I call it a normal one, yes, because that's what I grew up with, so it's normal to me. But nowadays, that's not normal. People don't grow up in Christian homes. And even sometimes when you grow up in a Christian home, it's not really the happiest home or the funnest home. If it's governed by legalism of the Bible instead of the grace of the Bible, it's a whole different thing. But you understand, you have to be willing to share the reason that you have a hope from scriptures. Now, here's the thing. If you don't know where to find it, look it up. You guys, you'll know what this is. You know what this is? It's called the Chilton's Manual. And it's for my son's Toyota pickup truck and stuff. You know what these are for? They're for us, the dummies, who don't know how to do things. We have to look things up. With this right here, I could basically completely rebuild my son's motor. Am I going to try it? No. That's a lot. Now, there's some people out here that's laughing at me because they're mechanics or whatever, and they don't even need to look at the book. They occasionally will look at the book if they can't figure out a problem, whatever. But most of the time, their experience, their knowledge of it, man, they know. They're like, well, you know, I asked one time, well, what's the torque pressure for the exhaust manifold that I just had to put on? I don't know. Look in the Chilton's Manual. So when you don't know where something's at, what do you do? Well, the whole front's got an index, and the back's got a glossary, and so I can just look up exhaust manifold and put it up and find out how much I'm supposed to torque it to and all that stuff and get taken care of and get it fixed. Now, we would use this. Guys, ladies, you'll use instruction manuals for everything except your spiritual life. And you know, it's kind of crazy. The Bible, and I have a bunch of them, it's the repair manual for life. You guys know that, right? It's the repair manual for life. You got a problem? And what's even cool, this one over here's got it. See, I have Bibles like all over. I have so many Bibles. I have one that's from 1800s. It's really cool. It's too fragile to bring out. But this Bible here, it's just a little small one, New Testament and Psalms. But it says, oh, you're dealing with grief or shame or significance or spirituality. You want to look up something? Are you confused? Do you have a conscience? You know, what's going on with conscience, your conviction? What about church? It has in the back, it has a little guide where you can look up this scripture. Look up this scripture. So even if you don't know, they come out with a manual that they've even put extra things into it so that you can find out how to help in your life. I'm dealing with depression. Well, what do I need to look up? You know, you have all those things. This is just the New Testament. This one here, it's the Bible I have, and it's wet and it's been used and those kind of things. It's a study Bible. There's that much scripture and that much study material. And in the back and in the front, there is all kinds of helps. You want to know about all the miracles of Jesus? There's a chart in here. You want to know about the life of Christ? There's an outline in here. You want to know about David? There's outline in there on those things. You want to know about the laws and what they were? There's all those things. And you can find these. You can buy them. You can buy them at Walmart. And don't tell me, oh, well, I'm really not into that. This is a study Bible. That's one you could use. You have this one's one that's well used. I have little ones. This one right here, I've given to my kids, and it has a blank page on one side. You know why I gave that to them? So as they read, if they have a question or want to make notes, they can write down. It's not a sin to write in your Bible. Okay? You can do that. I mean, I've got everything. I've got versions where you can get the King James Version, the New International Version, the Living Bible, and the Revised Standard all in one. I don't know that you want to carry it around, but there's four versions in there. If you don't understand one, there's another one in there. You can figure it out. And then, you know, there's kids' Bibles, right? Little girls' Bible, my first Bible. And these are for the little guys. Hey, they can study the Bible. Why aren't you? There's men's Bibles. And guess what? I haven't opened this one. You know why? It's a woman's Bible. I don't read it. It's for women. But I have it. If someone needs it, here you go. Right? I mean, there's all kinds of Bible. This one's for men. This one I love. This was one of my favorite ones. My wife and I have a big one of this. It's called The Voice. Somebody went through, and it's really cool because I think this way. I like drama. I like theater. And what's cool about this Bible is they went through and they just kind of made it like a script. Have you ever read a script? In a script, it'll say this person's name, Jesus. And here's what he says. La, 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 la. You know, all those things. And then it says Peter. And then Peter says, or it says narrator or comment. And what's really cool is I always know who's talking. And what they did in this one as well is they added little helps to help you understand. Like some people don't know that a denarius is a day's wage or whatever. So whenever they added, oh, this is a day's wage, they put it in italics. So as you're reading through, and if you see something that's in italics, you know that's just a help to help you understand it. It's actually not part of the Word of God, because here it is, but you may not understand how much this is or how much that is. Folks, there is something for everybody. It says they reason with them with the Scriptures. Well, you have to know where things are at. You have to be willing to look things up. You have to come up with things. The thing is we have a repair manual for life and nobody uses it. And I understand with the guys. I'm with the guys. We don't look at the instructions until things mess up. I get that. A lot of ladies are that way too. They just want to admit it. But here's the thing. How messed up does your life have to get before you're going to get back in the Word of God? You think, oh, it'll wash over, it'll get out of it. Folks, it's for you. It's a repair manual for life. When life messes up, look it up. There's encouragement there. There's things. I even have one. Where'd it go? This is my favorite one. One of my favorite ones. It's a comic book. Just in case you like comic books. Now it's not every scripture, but there's a lot of stories in there. I love the David and Goliath one. You know, I love that one. I love some of the things that are going through that. Where did I have it marked? I lost it. I picked it up too fast. But it's a comic book. I mean, your teenagers will look at comic books. Are they reading it? Are they looking what's there? There's no excuse why you should not have a Bible and be in your Bible. Because I know all of you, I love you, but some of you got problems. It's a church. We're for the sick. So are you in God's Word? Are you studying God's Word? Are you looking at the repair manual? Okay? And look at it and see what it says. Because there's things, and people go, oh, well, it doesn't understand. Because I'm talking about, I broke my cell phone. And it just, really? Your cell phone, you're right, is not in the Bible, the Word of God. But how you communicate is. And how well do you communicate with people? You think just writing a text letter or hashtag this or hashtag, I laugh at some of the stuff. They say the word hashtag more than they say the word that actually they're trying to say. There's some commercial out there that says hashtag now. I'm like, why don't you just say now? Leave the hashtag thing off of it. You know, it's all kinds of crazy things. But it's there. We have a manual for it. And this is what Paul did. He went in and he reasoned with the believers, the Jews, the believers of God, with Scripture. Showed them through the Old Testament how Jesus Christ had to die on the cross, rise from the grave, and how he's the Messiah. And it says some people got it, some people didn't. And I want to notice it's interesting because if you notice at the beginning of the second journey, the first people he witnessed to was women. Remember, Jews didn't like to do that. And now it's put in here, Luke put it, prominent Greek women, businesswomen. The world was changing a little bit. And it was tough for people to grasp. But I noticed, so he goes there and he starts teaching with people, but then there's one problem that shows up. This is what gets him in trouble. It says, but some of the other Jews were jealous. Well, jealous of Paul for what? Did he look good? Had better clothes? Why were they jealous of Paul? I'll tell you why. There's a Jewish synagogue in town. Remember, Philippi, the first place they went, didn't even have one. There's not many Jews around. So this Jewish synagogue, at least 20 guys, they're there, they meet on a regular basis. And they have been trying to bring people to Christ, get people to come to church, bring people to God. They've been trying for years and years and years, trying to bring people to God by showing them the law. You have to act this way, this way, this way. 613 things you have to do to be right with God. And then here comes Paul. Nah, grace of Jesus Christ is good enough for you. You just have to believe. And people went, I want to do that. I want to give my life to Christ. I love grace and mercy because, man, if I have to do about my sins, I'm in trouble. They all knew it. They knew they hadn't lived a perfect life. So here comes Paul, and preaching about grace and the grace of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and the the Jews that had been there for a long time who had been failing in bringing people to God now are jealous. Because here comes this young guy, this comes a guy in here, and he starts showing from the Word of God, and they missed it totally about the Messiah, and so they become jealous. So what does jealousy bring about? Well, in this scripture, a riot. It's pretty easy. They've been trying to teach people, and they were so upset that here's the thing, and this kind of bothers me. They knew who the bad characters were to go round up, to start a riot. We know how to cause a problem here. Really? Is that godly-like? Is that what God would have wanted? Let's start a riot in town. Let's get the whole town in an uproar. They were jealous, and so they rounded up some characters. They get things going on, and they're going to go find Paul and Silas. Now, you know if they'd have found Paul and Silas, they'd have been beating them the whole way. But they don't find Paul and Silas. Who do they find? Jason, one of their own people in their own town. And they drag them out. And listen to what they said. Now, this is really interesting because this is a part of it. Over-exaggerating of falsehoods is common with people who are jealous. So realize if you're dealing with somebody who is like over-exaggerating what's actually going on, understand what's going on. They do this. He says, these men who have caused trouble all over the world. That's pretty good credit for Paul. Has he caused problems all over the world? No. A couple towns. And it's always the godly people who were upset. It was the church people who were getting upset with him. And he goes, they're causing problems all over the world. Now they've come to our little town, and they're causing problems. But we don't have them in front of us. They're not here right now. But these guys right here, Jason and his family and whatever, they invited them in. They were hospitable. They were kind. They gave him some food. They gave him shelter. Can you believe that? Really? Excuse me, folks. But they're upset because they were being kind. They were being gracious. They were being hospitable, which they probably would like to have their town known as. These people in this town, they're nice people. They start an uproar. They start a riot. People, and they're saying that there's another king. Well, there is another king, but he's not a king of this world. He's a king of the spiritual world, named Jesus. So the officials and the town are thrown in turmoil. And what do? They say you're either going to go to jail or you're going to post bond. Now think about that. Would you be willing to post bond if you did nothing wrong? Would you post bail, or would you fight it out? See, here's the thing. They didn't do anything wrong. They just hosted some people. They allowed them to come in. And now they're going to have to pay for it. Are you willing to pay for your faith, even if you're wrongly accused? Are you willing to, hey, you're wrongly accused, whatever, it's going to cost you $3,000, $10,000. You going to do that? Maybe you can't. Maybe you can, but he was able to. They exaggerated the falsehoods. They got things all messed up. Now, there's that going on, and so when they get back, they get out, they go ahead and send Paul and Silas off. You guys just need to go. There's a problem in this place. So they go somewhere else. They're heading on down the road. And they go to a town called Berea. And so there was another Jewish synagogue, and they showed up. Now, I want you to notice this. This is really cool about a church. This is really cool what is said about this church. Now, the Berean Jews, the God believers of Berea, they were of more noble character than those of Thessalonica. Well, duh, they're not starting a riot. But they were of more noble character. They were better all-around people. They understood it. Here's what it says. They received the message with great eagerness. They examined the scriptures every day to see what Paul said was true. So it wasn't like they just took Paul at his word. They looked in the Word of God. He reasoned with them with the scriptures. They were ready. Oh, okay, I can find that. I can find that. I can find that Old Testament prophet. And they looked it up, and they reasoned, they looked it up on a regular basis to see if what Paul said was true. And it made sense. They accepted the Word of God with eagerness. There are people out there who actually want to hear about Jesus Christ. Not everybody notices it, but they are. There are people out there who want to know about your faith. They want to know, and they're eager. And you can open them up. They may not know where the Bible is, but they're eager. They want to know what's going on. And so, as a result, many of them believed. Also, a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. He brings that up again. I don't know why, but it's there. Okay, so it's pretty interesting. They received the message with eagerness. This week at camp, where I was at junior high camp, And I took a couple kids from mine, and then I'm always, and the director of camp, Kevin Greer, he's a professor of youth ministry at Ozark Christian College, he sent me a mail. I was worried I hadn't seen you yet because I didn't get registered in time yet. And so I registered because I'm the one that takes all the refugees. When a small church only can send one kid or two kids and they don't have a sponsor to send, they send them there, and guess who gets them in their youth group? I do. And it's a blast. I get to meet new kids. I learn a lot. We get to know, to know each other. And it's a little bit different than other ones where I have their whole big youth groups. And so, but they really bond as a team. They always do really well. And so I'm just kind of that guy because I've been in ministry for 30 years that they just give that assignment to. Todd's going to be here. He can handle it. Not a problem. Boom. Whatever comes my way. Well, our series this week up at camp was called Don't Blink. In other words, don't hesitate. There's a lot of people out there who hear about the Word of God, hear about Jesus Christ, and they're like, I'm not sure. Oh, I think I'll wait a little while. You know, he even told a story of someone who wanted to, you know more about baptism, and once she learned about it, she said this, wow, becoming a Christian was a little more than I thought it was. It's really pretty simple. But she didn't want to change her life. She didn't want to change the way she was living. The good thing is about a year later, she realized, no, I really do need to do this, and Jesus Christ is the answer. And it was pretty cool. But there's a lot of people out there that hesitate. They just blink. You know how you ask someone, I can usually tell if my kids are lying. If I ask them a question, they're like, what's the answer I'm supposed to say? You know what I mean? They're thinking about it. Most people are that way. They hesitate. They blink. Like, I'm not sure. And here it is. The Bereans, they didn't blink. They accepted the Word of God eagerly. There was no hesitation. They searched up the Scriptures and they looked, hey, this is true, and they believed. Folks, there's a lot of areas in our life that we blink at, and especially spiritually. God wants me to do this. God wants me to talk to this person, whatever. And like, oh, are you sure, Lord? Maybe we should pray about it for a while. That's always the good one, right? We're going to blink. We're going to pray about it. We're going to blink really long. Dear Lord, help. When he's saying, hey, you need to be doing this. You should be helping these people. You should be talking to this person about Christ. But we blink. The thing is they didn't hesitate. They didn't miss the opportunity. The thing is they searched the Scriptures. And we've been talking about the Bible already. I said there's a ton of them. Well, how do you know to live if you don't read the book? How do you know to live if you don't read the book? It's the instructions for life. You've probably heard of this before, right? Bible, B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Have you heard that before? It's the manual. God gave us a manual on how to work. How our lives are supposed to work. And I go back to him again. And here's the thing. People go, oh, well, I don't understand the version. Folks, there's a version out there for everybody. And you can find it. Don't say you can't find it, because there's apps. On this iPad alone, I have 30-some versions of the Bible through Logos and whatever else I got. I just use mainly about two or three. And I highlight them and those things. But there's a version out there for everything. There's one on your phone. You don't even have, you could listen to it. If you have a drive to work, put it in and just listen to it. And nowadays, with the way it is, just go back and listen to the same thing about five times. That's the reason why I encourage our triads to do that. Read the same passage five times over so that it kind of sinks in a little bit. It goes past just, oh, that was a nice story. And it actually makes an impact in your life. It's the instructions before leaving earth. Because here's the thing. As believers, this is not our home. Am I correct? It's not. We're not staying here. But as we live here and we have to deal with sin and we have to deal with people and whatever, there are basic instructions that you need to understand. Before you leave earth and before you're gone, God is preparing your character. He's preparing you for eternal life with him. He did that already just by covering your sins, but now he's working with you on love and kindness and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and self-control. You heard those before? They're called fruits of the Spirit. They're in there. How are you more joyful? Trust me, folks, it's in here. And here's the thing. If you're like, oh, the Bible's kind of boring, whatever, there's just devotional books. I mean, you don't even have to go there. Let's look at this stack, right? You got all kinds of devotional books. This one right here, Into the High Country, this is all, you got one of your guys that's just a hunter. They love the outdoors. They just want to hunt all the time. This is it. It's right here. I mean, it talks about your base camp and all the hunting stuff and outfitting yourself and having the right weapon. They just compares exactly the same person, a guy who's a hunter, but he wants to study about God. Here's a book on it. You have an outdoorsman, this one right here, It's a trail guide. It's a survival guide. It'll help you not only survive out in the outdoors, which most of the stuff in here we already know because we live in Colorado and we deal with it all the time, but it helps you with the outdoors. But yet, in the same thing, it teaches you about Jesus Christ and how to live out your life. There's all kinds of them. There's some little bit thicker disciplines for the inner life. Great book. And then you can always go with the classics. Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. He wrote a long time ago. I've read it like 15 times. And it's really short. It's not like it's something that's hard to do. That is it. And this one happens to have a journal place. And you can read about My Utmost, work out your own salvation, or whatever you shall ask in my name, I will do. And then there's a whole little paragraph about that he wrote, just about those notes. And you can read it, you can read the scripture, and you can move on. It doesn't take long. But you'd be amazed how many people are not willing to put any time in at all to growing in your knowledge about Jesus Christ, growing in your faith. Nobody wants to, it's a rare thing for someone to read. Or it's a rare thing to listen to it. You can listen to these things on tape too. On tape, that's how shows all am. On CD, on digital stuff, all the fun stuff you have, okay? Yeah, it's a tape. It was funny at camp because they were laughing at me because I was old enough to be every youth sponsor and staff except for one dad. I was like, man, I feel old. But when I beat a whole bunch of them up the mountain walking up, I was like, yeah! You know what I mean? I may be old, but I got here. Just give me some ibuprofen for the morning because that really hurt. You know what I mean? But I made it. But you know what? Those junior hires, they didn't see me. I mean, yeah, they used the old guy, but then they're like, dude, watch out. That guy can throw, or he can play sports, or he can do this. They're like, he's wise. He doesn't just go running out there in the field, whatever. He makes his choices wise and takes them out and whatever. And, you know, when we played games, it was kind of fun. They were like, watch out for him. He can throw the ball. He can play. He's a different. He kind of hides behind things. He just doesn't run out there with stuff. There's a wisdom to it. Are you learning and searching in wisdom to grow in your faith? Or are you still a child? Are you growing in your knowledge of Jesus Christ? It takes time to get in the Word. And the thing is it's the I'm with you. It's the first thing that goes when you get busy. So Satan sometimes doesn't go after you with sin in your life because he knows you're pretty solid on that. Maybe you're not going to give up that. He'll just get you busy so that you don't pay attention to the Word of God or you don't pray. You don't spend time in Bible study. He'll just get you busier and busier and busier and busier until you know, oh man, I need my sleep, right? I need to get to sleep. I need rest. I need this. When you're missing out, God's the one who can give good rest when you sleep. He's the one that can refresh you. He's the one that restores our souls deep inside. It's powerful stuff. See, here's the thing. I want you folks today, I don't want you to neglect the Word of God. I don't pound on the Bible very often about that you need to be in it, you need to read it, but you do. You want to, the Grandview Christian Church needs to be one of those churches like the Berean Church. They're of more noble character than, I don't care where it's at, it doesn't bother me, I don't care. But to be of noble character, why? Because you searched the Scriptures. You saw the Word of God and how it's true. You looked it up. Because you know what, folks? I do make mistakes. Some of you pointed it out. No problem. Okay, I do. I'm a human being. Okay, I don't always, sometimes I mess up with words. I've messed up on a couple words. It's not this church, but other places that cost me a lot. I really messed up. And I said, did I just say that? Oops. And of course, they're all busting, laughing. They're rolling in the aisles. I never lived that one down. But we mess up. I mess up. I don't always say things right. I always get the Scriptures right. Are you looking it up? Now, the thing is a lot of times I already know that I messed up. I just don't tell you. Oops, you know, kind of thing. I just keep going. I went going. Or at the end, I'm like, did I say that? Or when I listened to the sermon, oh, I was wrong on that. But I'm trying to express to you the Word of God. And every preacher should be doing that. And the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit works in me, and He reveals things. And sometimes, you know, He'll put something upon my mind that's not even in my sermon because the Spirit's working in me. But how's the Spirit able to work in me? Well, not only by the grace and baptism and stuff, but He's got to have something to work with. You've got to study. It's like the kid who's like, oh, Lord, help me with my math test. And the Lord says, it'd be a whole lot easier if you actually knew something, if you studied it a little bit. You know, you can't just expect it to be there. Sometimes God does that. But most of the time, He wants you to, He has to have something to work with. for you to keep moving and be able to share your faith and whatever. You may not have every answer. You may mess up real bad. But you know what that actually does to the person who's asking the question? It encourages them that you're not perfect, because they know they're not perfect. And it encourages them, oh, you didn't know where everything was, but yet you still believe? Good. Maybe I could believe too, because I don't have any clue about Jesus Christ. You see the importance of it? If you have a problem with jealousy, jealousy usually comes around because you're not content with what you're doing. And if you're not content with what you're doing, make some changes. See, that's the hard part about church and Christianity, whatever. I challenge you to make changes in your life all the time. And you know how many people take me up on it? Not very many. Your life should change. Yes, you should be in the Word of God. Well, I don't like to do it. I know, I don't care. Try it anyways. I want you to grow. I want you to mature in your faith. And God's going to put you in places and test you, but you need to be in the Word of God, and I'm pushing you to do that. Here's the easy one, folks. We're a few days away from July, like 20-something. But I'm setting you up now. It's all right, it's the way it goes. I've been at camp. Okay, junior hires. It's the way it goes. But the month of July has 31 days in it. You want to study a little bit about the Word of God? What is it? You guys all know. Proverbs. Proverbs has 31 chapters. And you think, well, this is really weird because he talks about wisdom being a woman and it's really crazy and I don't understand all this. Read it. You might get something out of it. The first time I read Proverbs, I was in the back seat of a car going to Casper, Wyoming in the middle of December. Now, if you know anything about driving in Wyoming in the middle of December, it snows a lot. And there was a blizzard. And there was two college kids that were taking three of us boys to a retreat, like a youth revival thing in Casper. And it was snowing like crazy. And we were annoying them as good junior hires do as much as we possibly could. I was in junior high and we were bugging them as much as possible. And they were just worried about the road. They would be safe. I remember a semi doing a complete 180 on the interstate in front of us. That was kind of freaky. And the guy says, well, he's going to change his pants. Yeah, probably so. But we were bugging him so much, he finally said, you know what? Here's the challenge for you. I want you guys to sit, because it was taking forever. He says, I want you to look up the book of Proverbs, and I want you to read the book of Proverbs. See if you find anything in there that you really, really like. And as junior hires, we didn't know anybody. We thought, okay. And so we look up the Bible in Proverbs, and we're in the back seat, and we're reading through Proverbs, the three of us. There's three boys, Sean and Mark and I. And we're reading through Proverbs. And I came across this really cool verse, and I've never forgotten it. And I learned it that first day. Trust the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Did I understand the whole grasp of all of Proverbs? No, but I understood that verse. That was pretty cool. And it's ever since then, it's been my life verse. And then what was pretty cool was later on, you look up your name and how your name means and what your scripture is or whatever. You know, you can do that online now and all that stuff. You look it up, and you know what it was? It says, Todd, a seeker of wisdom, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I found that out when I was in junior high. Wow. Folks, challenge you to grow. I had a sponsor in a snowstorm say, read the book of Proverbs. And I said, okay, I'm willing to. Because he said we couldn't do it. He was saying the three of us could not read through. He challenged us. And we're like, I can do anything, man, no problem. So we started reading it. Next thing you know, we were in Casper. We stayed there a few extra days because the snowstorm snowed us in. But it was a blast. It was one of my great memories of junior high and stuff when we took us. And it was a couple college kids that took us. The thing is, you have to learn to be content with what you got if you're jealous. You have to learn the Word of God. It's interesting. If jealousy is a problem that you have because you want something that somebody else has, Philippians 4:12 says, this is Paul speaking. He says, I know what it means to be in need. I know what I have, what it means to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. It doesn't say this, but you know what it says? God's got it. That was his secret to being content in every situation. Whether he has a lot, whether he has a little bit, God's taking care of everything. He says, whether I have plenty to live with or I'm in want, he says this, and this is the verse that gets taken out of context more than anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, I've learned to be content. And I can be content, and I know, because I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Folks, I don't know where you're at in your thing. God's got it. We've got to learn to be content. We've got to learn about the grace and the peace and the love and this basic instructions before leaving earth. You need to be in the Word of God. And you know what? You can have any of my books up here. I get them all the time. I got more Bibles as a pastor than most people have. You need a Bible? Come get a Bible. Don't take my one that's this one here. I'll take that one with me. You know why? Because it's worn out. The book's worn out. You know what the sign of a worn out Bible means? Your life is not worn out. If you read your Bible on a regular basis, usually your life is not messed up. Oh, you have hard times. You have things that come your way. But if you're in the Word of God, it's amazing how God's Word is in you, and it makes a huge difference. Folks, you know the invitation is always open. If you need to accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, don't blink. Don't hesitate. Do it. You know what you need to do. You can put it off again. That's fine. If you want to, that's what you want to do. It's fine. You have your own choice. But I encourage you, if you need to make a decision to follow Christ, then you need to do it. If you need to get back right with Christ, you need to do it. But a lot of you just got to be reminded and encouraged. Hey, it's summertime. I know. Oh, I've got so many things going on. Great. We got vacation and those things. Why don't you take your Bible with you on vacation when you're sitting out there and just wherever you're at and read? Well, I've got my family and my friends. Great, invite them along. Read a story to them. You know the coolest thing to do? You know the hardest thing to do in junior high camp is? Get the kids to go to sleep. Junior hires, I mean, they can make all noises and all everything else, laughing and crazy, whatever. There's a unique way. You know what we found out with the easiest way to get junior hires to go to sleep? Read a story. Now, I used to do this when I was way back then, 30 years ago. I just read the book of Leviticus in a monotone voice like this, and boom, they'd be out. But it doesn't work that way anymore. You know what we do now? We take the Chronicles of Narnia. There's a whole seven of them, a whole bunch of books. And they were reading The Silver Chair. And they turned the lights out, and he's got his little flashlight, and he starts reading the Chronicles of Narnia, which is all about Jesus Christ, who is Aslan, and there's all kinds of different aspects to it, whatever. But the kids listen. And what's funny is when other kids start to talk, like, shh, we're listening. And when you have kids in the dark, late in the evening, for 28 minutes or so, reading out of a chapter, you go, anybody wants to move on? Hello? Anybody awake? They're all sleeping. And they got the Word of God through a story, but still, it was a story that they haven't heard, they got excited about. Some of these kids had never heard about C.S. Lewis and his belief and the coolness of all the things that he puts into the Chronicles of Narnia. It's cool. Folks, I'm just challenging you to grow a little bit. It's summertime. Theoretically, we're supposed to have more time. I know we don't always, but it's summertime. You don't have school. Your work maybe, I know some of you don't worry about that kind of thing, but the kids don't have school. Learn something. It's a great time. It's for 3 months. You know, some people go on vacation, do all those things. Take some time on purposely, learn about God. And grow. It's interesting because most of the time churches cancel all the things going on in the summertime, right? Life groups cancels, this cancels because everybody's going to be gone and whatever. You know, when's most people move? They move in the summertime. We have all these new people in our area, and yet we offer nothing. So, you know, figure out what it is. I realize sometimes life group is you and your wife. Everybody's gone. Okay. That's the way it goes. That's the way it happens sometimes. But you never know when somebody from that's new comes in and wants to come to your life group, and maybe it is just you and them. Hey, guess what? You got some new friends. You're going to get to learn about them. You share a little bit about the church. They have questions. You can answer them for them. It's just you guys one-on-one. Good opportunity. Folks, here's the thing. The challenge is to grow. Let the Word of God impact your life. It'll make a powerful thing. We're going to sing a song. And it's just, we're just singing praise to close things out with whatever. If you have a decision to make, we invite you to come up. Elders will be here. I'll be up playing like this, but we'll pray with you with those things going on, and we invite you to come. We're going to stand and we're going to sing.